Congratulations to Paul Swan, host of The Drive, for capturing the prestigious 2024 West Virginia Broadcasters Association Excellence in Broadcasting Award for Best Talk Show. Tune in to Paul during your drive home weekdays at 5:06 p.m. on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. Beltone Hearing Aid Center presents The Drive.
Ready? Fight.
The Drive.
Elmore deep, left side three, it's good! From 30 feet, John Elmore!
The Drive with Paul Swan.
Welcome into the Monday, December 17th edition. Your drive begins now on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930. I'm your host, Paul Swan. Dave Walsh, the former Young Thundering Herd quarterback, joins me today. We're here at the Union Pub and Grill, 1125 4th Avenue in Huntington. Of course, also presented by Beltone Hearing Aid Center. Coming up this hour, we're going to hear from Doc Holliday, Tim Kramsey, and we'll get some reaction as well from Chase Hancock and Jordan Dowry. Today, the first formal get-together with the media down in Tampa for the Gasparilla Bowl, so we'll hear from those guys. We'll get your phone calls in. A little bit later on, we're going to hear from Dave Wilson. He is on scene. He's going to set the stage for us as the Gasparilla Bowl coming up on Thursday. We're going to be on the air 3 hours before kickoff. 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. So we'll be on the air at 5 o'clock, Dave, and we, of course, will be at Roosters for our pregame show. And, of course, we'll have that for you right here on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930.
I'm interested to see how the turnout is Thursday over there because it's on a channel we can find. Even I can find.
I think it'll be okay.
Yeah. I think they will.
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be a hardship for anyone.
I think there'll be some people there Friday, Thursday.
Most of the bowls are going to be easy to find, except for the very obscure.
Yeah.
And, of course, this one's going to be on the radio. It's going to be on ESPN.
Right.
So it's the only game that night. Doc Holliday.
They're making that point, aren't they?
He likes making that point. I mean, that's like a selling point for him. He has programmed himself to point that out. Hey, it's the only show in town Thursday night. You should – hey – you want to see the Thundering Herd? Come on down. If you can't come on down to the game, tune it in. It's the only game going on. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he understands that people are not going to just say, oh, hey, look, there's a football game. But I guess some people do.
Yeah.
Do you? Do you just go,
hey, look. I don't think the NFL plays Thursday night, do they?
Are they done? They're good.
They're on Saturday, Sunday now.
Yeah, they're good.
Or Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whenever.
But I don't know if people just go, hey, there's a football game. I'm going to tune in.
I don't know.
Because it depends on the name recognition. If you see South Florida, you see Marshall. I don't know.
Bad Boy Mowers.
Yeah, Bad Boy Mowers, Gasparilla Bowl.
What if they got a lawnmower? Anybody got a package with a lawnmower?
That's a big boy motor. You've got some acres you need to cut?
Yeah.
Bad Boy Mowers will take care of you.
Doc's probably got one on the way. Cut his yard up in Hurricane.
It's in Kelly Green, right?
He's got it painted.
He's got
Marco
Kelly
on the front.
Kelly Green mowers that
there
are on their way up to Hurricane, take care of the property.
Hey. As we said, it's all about marketing.
So I'm kind of curious to see how the herd takes to the lawnmower contest of herd that's going to be there. We'll find out. Dave Wilson's going to join us a little bit later on. We got a lot to get into. Marshall, over the weekend, both the men and women in basketball get victory. So that was needed for the Thundering Herd. They go up to the Jar, finally beat Akron after, I don't know, you were still quarterbacking the last time, I think, Marshall beat Akron up
I
in Akron.
So.
Yeah,
I
you were still
so.
on the roster.
Yes. But you know what was ironic? Much was said about rebounding. Marshall out-rebounded them. I was like, whoa. And their coach was probably, and their coach made a point right out of the gate. We didn't rebound. That's why they beat us. So, I mean, hats off to Danny. 38-29 on the boards. That's got to make him feel a little bit better. Because if you look at the time played, it's still kind of a small lineup out there, but they got the job done.
So the Thundering Herd gets the victory. They've got a few days off now, and then they'll be back in action. Yeah.
Two big ones coming up.
Heading on the road.
A&M, SEC Network, Power, and then Virginia, ACC, number 5 in the country, just popped up. They got them on New Year's Eve, so two big tests coming up. And then they open conference play, Old Dominion, Charlotte, and we saw what happened in Syracuse, New York on Saturday. Old Dominion knocked them off.
Speaking of the top 25, Syracuse nowhere to be found now in the top 25. Kansas gets 56 first-place votes. They're number 1. Duke is 2nd with 5. Tennessee is 3rd with 2 first-place votes. Michigan comes in with 1 first-place vote, and they're 4th. Virginia, they are 5th with 1 first-place vote. Then You've got Nevada, Auburn, Gonzaga, North Carolina, and Michigan State rounding out your top 10. Kentucky is number 19. Ohio State, they are 15th. Buffalo, 14th.
Whoa.
Virginia Tech's 13th. And scrolling down the list here, Furman, 24th. How about that?
People are still wondering, how did that happen?
Winning basketball.
I used to be a home and home with Marshall a few years ago, and now it's like here they are, number 24 in the country.
You know what? Take this top 25, Dave, and you just ball it up in a wad and throw it out.
That's
means
right.
Nothing.
Because the 1st of March, they three weekends to decide who's number one.
Means nothing.
Right.
The tournament will get half the field in, and then the committee will let the rest in at their discretion.
Exactly.
So that's your top 25. Of course, the women get a victory as well, so good for them. They're back at it tomorrow. They're going to be on the road. They're taking on Clemson. That's going to be tough for them. They are going to play in the afternoon. They've got a nooner with Clemson. And so if they can beat Clemson, I've already got the time booked tomorrow. Wednesday. Now, I was going to book it Wednesday, but you know, when I was talking to Tony Kemper the other day, he said, no, I'll come on Tuesday. What are you talking about? I'll call you on the road.
So there you go.
They get the victory. I think we're going to do it on Tuesday. So we'll find out tomorrow.
They've already had one big environment game, I think, Wisconsin went up there.
I thought they played okay. They didn't scoreboard-wise look good.
But it's one of those situations you walk out and you go like, whoa, this is a little different. But remember, as Danny would always say, it's 94 feet. The baskets are 10 feet off the ground. Whoever does the best plan wins the game. So, you know, Tony, they're playing better right now. A little bit better.
They got a little bit more confidence, a little bit more chemistry. So the Thundering Herd playing well, and we'll hopefully have the results tomorrow and maybe a coach as well to talk about it. So Marshall recently let the cat out of the bag a little bit, unplanned or strategically loosened a little bit. I don't know which, but you know they're working on a baseball park.
Right.
And they got to test the ground, make sure everything's looking like it can be done.
Did it pass?
Not yet.
Oh.
They haven't leaked that to me yet.
Yeah. So I haven't bubbling coming out of the ground.
No, I haven't got anything yet on that.
Yeah.
But the baseball schedule's out today, and guess what? They're not playing in Charleston like they used to.
Where are they going now?
They're
going to
play at the YMCA field. They're going to get it up to spec. Yeah.
All home games?
Just about. They've got a couple of games that are not at home, that are home games. They're going to play West Virginia on the 27th of March in Charleston.
Right.
Yeah, come on. They're not coming to Huntington until a new ballpark opens. You know that's going to happen.
Right?
Yeah, so they've got that also. They're going to be playing a few games elsewhere across the Great Divide. But for the most part, all their games are going to be at home. It's actually going to be a home field
game
for them. Yeah.
Yes. That's awesome. Any curiosity on the schedule? Does Rice appear? It's been a couple years since Rice was on there, although they've kind of dropped off the radar a little bit.
Rice does appear, and
they're
the final series before the conference tournament.
In Texas? Or
in Huntington.
Whoa. Rice is in the house?
Rice is in the house.
I remember the first time they played him in Charleston that year, and they were hitting balls off the interstate all day long, the Rice. But that being, there's a sport that four or five Conference USA teams are very good in baseball, Rice being one of them, Southern Miss, and a few others.
So the league is letting it happen. They're going to make enhancements to the field.
That's awesome.
Yeah, make it at least up to Conference USA standards or enough to be able to allow the Thundering Herd to play. I'm sure a part of that is just the fact that they want to play their games home. They want to actually have a home game for once.
Yeah, I remember you had the thing when this first came out about the baseball field, and you were talking about a senior night one year. It was held in Beckley, and it was like three people. And it's like you said, it's got to be a better way to honor your seniors and go, thank you and see you. Got to be a better way to do it.
Well, Beckley's in a great location,
but
still, it's not a home field.
No.
It's a great, hey, let's go visit Beckley and play some Herd baseball in Beckley.
Yeah.
But I think it's time you play baseball like everyone else. You play at home. You don't have to be the road team anymore.
No.
You can get that thing built, get a lot closer to campus, but until then, this is a lot closer to campus than Charleston, and you don't have to feel like you're a tenant in your own home game.
Yeah. And you get in there and you got, well, we've got 10 minutes to bat. We've got 15 minutes to do this. And you're on the clock.
Yeah.
No, this is our field. We have lights.
The road team had a better situation coming into Charleston because they would play in Charleston. They would stay in Charleston.
Right.
Marshall would play, go home, come back.
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah.
And we talked about
you got to haul all your stuff up to Charleston. Then you're a tenant there. And you're at their mercy.
Right.
And not to say that Appalachian Power Park hasn't been a good partner, but you're at their mercy. You're a tenant.
Yeah, because sometimes if the field's not quite right, no BP, stuff, you know, if it's a little wet or whatever, I mean, you know, they're the prime tenant. Marshall's, you know, in there, so they got to watch out for their field. But it's great to know they're going to be playing up because they got turf. No rainouts. Whatever enhancements they have to make, more power to them. They got a little bit of time before it happens, and it'd be great.
And plus, after it's all said and done, the field, of course, will be there for other uses. So it's
right.
It's a win-win.
Huh.
I don't know how much money you're going to throw at this thing, but at least enough to make it worth your while.
I would think a few more bleachers, maybe.
Bleachers.
Enhance the press box a little bit. I'm
bathrooms,
not sure.
Bathrooms, things like that.
Yeah.
Whatever you have to
concession
do.
Concession area, maybe.
Whatever you have to do.
I'm sure they've worked it out. They know what they have to do between now and, what, March when they start showing up out there?
They have got a game plan, and they start baseball in February,
right.
And then they got to roll out there and play some herd baseball at home. The first time they'll play, March 1st. So there you go. March 1st, they're going to be playing some baseball at the field. So guess what? You don't have to travel that far to see herd baseball. When we come back from break, a guy who has traveled a little far to see herd football is Dave Wilson. He is on location at the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. He's going to check in with us when we continue with this edition of The Drive, presented by Beltone Hearing Aid Center on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Now, back to The Drive with Paul Swan on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Welcome back. We are coming to you live from the Union Pub and Grill at 1125 4th Avenue in Huntington. It's The Drive, presented by Beltone Hearing Aid Center on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930. Joining us on the program now, we have got one of the voices you hear on game day and, of course, select basketball games, Dave Wilson. He now is on the program. He has made the journey. He is at the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. I mean, come on, Dave. You made the trip because of the mowers, right? That's the real reason.
I am hoping to come home with a new mower. That is my goal, Paul.
So has Doc already picked out his? Because, you know, he's got some usage for those things, and I'm sure they can get that in Kelly Green for him.
I think he's actually going to drive a mower back on Thursday with the trophy in tow, of course. So,
well, that's fine.
There you go.
We could have the parade. He could be the head of the parade on his Bad Boy mower. Holding the trophy
there
up.
There you go.
There you go. It could work perfectly. I know we're having fun. Let me ask you, are they having fun? I know it's a business trip for these guys, but are they having any fun?
Oh, yeah, of course they're having fun. Of course, yesterday, you know, just getting here was a little bit of an ordeal with the rain and the fog. Sunday morning, our flight out of Huntington Tri-State Airport got delayed. Then there was weather problems where the charter was coming from. So didn't actually get off the ground until late afternoon, 4:30, 5 o'clock, well after 7 by the time we got here. So they missed the beach activities yesterday. But the team got out, practiced early this morning, and spent the afternoon over at Busch Gardens. So, there's plenty of time to have fun because, you know this from past bowl experiences with Doc Holliday, yes, it's a business trip. Yes, you have something to take care of. That's also a reward for these guys for playing, you know, 12 weeks of hard football. You know, well, 13, you throw that bye in there. And, you know, practice started all the way back in August. It's been a long season. This is a reward for doing your job throughout the year. So, yes, you have fun. Yes, you take care of business the closer you get to game day.
What's the rest of the week look like for these guys? Practice, of course, is the fundamental part of why they're there. But what's the bowl set up for them as far as to keep them occupied in their spare fun time?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to do to keep them occupied. Practices are going to be early. There's practice tomorrow morning. You know, it should be over by 9:30. And there's a couple of competitions. They're doing a bike build-off where the teams are going to compete to help build bikes for kids, actually. The visit to the Children's Hospital coming up. You know, there's activities for the families who have come down as well. So, yeah, they're going to keep them pretty busy today. Well, you know, today's over, but tomorrow and Wednesday with those types of activities. And, you know, more Wednesday, you start to get more in that game set of mind where you kind of start to focus. There's a few more meetings. Each night curfew gets bumped up a little bit where they're doing bed checks. So, every day there's plenty to keep them active, Paul, but every day as well you're getting closer to game day and you start to get a little more focused, a little more serious about what you got to do.
Now, Dave, this game's been moved. It's now in an actual football stadium. It's being played at an NFL football stadium. So with the move and with the hopes that this will grow into a signature bowl for the city of Tampa, what's your impression so far of what this revised Gasparilla Bowl looks like?
Well, so far, I guess it depends on where you are in Tampa. You know, what they're trying to do in Gasparilla is a bigger, if you want to call it, organization idea than just the bowl game. It is part of a larger effort to, you know, draw attention, draw people to the downtown area of Tampa. I mean, they have Gasparilla events throughout the year if you go and look. So the bowl is only a part of a bigger tourism marketing strategy for the downtown Tampa area. Now, you also have to keep in mind, it's not like the Orange Bowl has come to town. It's not like, you know, it's the Fiesta Bowl or the Rose Bowl. You know, Tampa still goes on as if it's Tampa, but if you're in the downtown area, you know the bowl game is going on. Moving it to a football stadium is a great idea, although the weather Thursday is not looking real great. So it's a little bit different than the last time, you know, the team was here 3 years ago when much of it was centered in St. Petersburg. A lot different feel. You're in Tampa, you know, where some of the events are still in St. Petersburg, but most of them are centered in Tampa. So, you know, I like the idea, and with the right, you know, marketing, with the right kind of organization, it's a bowl game that can grow and flourish.
Dave Wilson is joining us. Paul Swan and Dave Walsh with you here at the Union Pub and Grill. We're presented by Beltone Hearing Aid Center on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930. And you mentioned that you're looking at a game where Tampa's going on, but is there any buzz in the city, in the area for this game, or is this still, all right, this is just a nice part of what Gasparilla does, the whole idea of the Gasparilla concept, the pirate theme, everything going on. Do you feel that maybe moving this location a little bit, tying in with Gasparilla, there's more of a buzz locally? Of course, this is going to be the only bowl game on the day, so fans will find this game. But as far as the locals are concerned, are you seeing much media coverage? Are you feeling any buzz whatsoever? Or is it, oh, hey, there's a football game. That's nice.
Yeah, you know, it's more the latter. I mean, and let's just be honest here. Again, because it's not, you know, it's not like Clemson and Notre Dame have come to town and you're going to bring, you know, 60,000 people each or whatever. And then, you know, there's not a full week of ESPN broadcasting live, you know, or any of that. However, that being said, you know, there is the buzz. You have the hometown team playing, so most people are aware of that, and it doesn't take them long to see all the Kelly Green that's walking around here as well. So, you know, as you get a little bit closer, and it's only Monday, guys, the game's not till Thursday, so as more people start to funnel in for the game on Thursday, you'll start to see a little bit of buzz. Now, it's going to be concentrated around where the teams are, but again, you know, it's not one of the New Year's Six Bowls, so you're not going to get this whole shut down the city thing for it. But there is a little bit of buzz around town.
What about the fact that they're playing in an NFL stadium when they go out on the field Thursday night? This is where the Buccaneers play. This is where Marshall's Minnie Curry suits up when he's healthy. Does that hit him?
You know, we talked to a couple of guys this morning about that. They're looking forward to it. You know, a couple of the guys, and we talked to Chase Hancock and Jordan Dowry, and of course they've played it. I wanted to say Three Rivers. Why am I totally blanking? Where the Steelers play, Heinz Field. Boy, Three Rivers. I mean, we're going way back there. You know, but they, you know, they've played at the pro stadium, most of these guys, but they are looking forward to that opportunity to get out there and play, you know, in an NFL stadium. And they do it right. You know, there will be covered sections, obviously. You're not going to fill it with 80. I think it's somewhere around 60. So, yeah, they're looking forward to that opportunity. And again, it's better than, and they did a good job over, you know, dressing up the old Tropicana Field, but that's a baseball stadium. And you know you're in a baseball stadium when you walked into that. You're going to walk into a football stadium, you know you're going to be in an NFL stadium, and that adds to the atmosphere, and that adds to the, I think, the reward of playing in the bowl game in the first place.
How about the marketing? You talk about that in terms of, it's a home game for them, but I know that the administration's been out pushing the, you know, the fans to buy the tickets. And then when Marshall got the bid, big alumni base, Legionnaire flies in that area. So might be a little bit of Kelly Green in the house come Thursday night too. So it sets up well.
Yeah, I think so. Look, I'm not going to buy into the it's not as if USF is playing this game on their home field, and their home field is something, you know, like, you know, the Joan is to Marshall. You know, they have trouble getting people out to these ball games, you know, on a regular Saturday afternoon. So, you know, with 28 guys on this roster from Florida, there's a lot of family and friends who want to come watch this game because they don't get the chance to go to Huntington. Like you mentioned, Dave, there's a strong alumni base already in the Florida area. You've got easy flights from Huntington to get down here. I wouldn't be surprised if Marshall has just as many fans in the stands come Thursday night as USF does. Now, will they know some of the intricacies of, you know, playing in the field? Of course they will. But as far as having a home field advantage, I'm just not buying into that.
Plus, Vinny Curry is there. That nullifies any home field advantage for South Florida. It's Vinny Curry's field. Thus, it's Marshall's field, right?
There you go, Paul. Exactly.
Dave Wilson joining us. He is covering the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, not only for Metro News, but also he'll be part of the network broadcast coming up on Thursday. You can listen to that game right here on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930. And, Dave, hopefully we'll be back with us here at least one more time before we have the game on Thursday. And how'd you luck into such an assignment? I mean, come on, Dave. You got the Florida assignment. How much string pulling did you have to do here?
Well, you know what? Fred Persinger had to sacrifice his per diem from the Super 6. So that's how we were able to swing this trip.
That's a lot of per diem there.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of per diem.
You know, if Fred ever found out I talked about him like this, I may not have a job when I get home.
Uh-oh.
Let's just, Dave, keep that between us.
I'm going to tell you up front, I know what you do, and trust me, I don't know if they got anybody else available to do what you do. So I think you're fine, my friend. I think you're good.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's good. That makes me feel a little better.
There you go. Dave Wilson is joining us. He is covering the game for Metro News. Of course, he'll be on the network. And he's also our babysitter for Bill Cornwell, who's also down there. So you got your hands
full. As a matter,
yes, he does.
I got him right here beside me, too, guys.
Tampa is safe now.
I don't know if I'll go that far.
Yeah.
Dave Wilson's with us. You know, this is just the highlight of the show right here.
Yes.
Getting you cracked up and tickled. That's the highlight for me here.
Well, I'm glad I could make your show for you, Paul.
I appreciate it, man.
Yes.
We'll talk to you here soon. And then I'm looking forward to getting you down here for some Herd baseball, finally, at the home of the Herd. At their own baseball
They're going to play everything in Huntington this year. That's great. We're close to Huntington, I guess.
Maybe we'll see a little bit more of you here, because I know the Huntington trip's a lot easier for you than the Charleston trip, right?
Yeah, hey. Well, you give me a good reason to come down, Paul, and I might come by and visit.
Okay, good deal. Dave Wilson's right, joining us. Hey, bud, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, sure, anytime.
That is Dave Wilson. We will come back, and we've got our very own Dave Walsh, with us here. We've got Doc Holliday's comments when we continue. Also, we'll hear from Tim Cramsey. We'll hear from Chase Hancock. We'll hear from Jordan Dowry. And we'll take time for your phone calls when we continue with this edition of The Drive, presented by Beltone Hearing Aid Center. We're coming to you today live from the Union Pub and Grill, 1125 4th Avenue in Huntington, right here on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930.
You're listening to The Drive with Paul Swan, presented by Beltone Hearing Aid Center on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930.
We're coming to you today live from the Union Pub and Grill, 1125 4th Avenue in Huntington. This is where you need to be on Monday. Well, you need to be here every night, but especially on Monday because, well, we haven't mentioned it yet, but there's always a reason to come in on Monday. It's the $1.50 bottles and $2 call shots. You can get that, the Monday special, always right here at the Union Pub and Grill, all day, all night long, every Monday. I'm Paul Swan. I've got the former Young Thundering Herd quarterback Dave Walsh with me, and Doc Holliday had a chance to catch up with the media. Well, probably the other way around.
Yes.
The media had a chance to catch up with Doc. Yeah. So Doc spent a few minutes yesterday probably sitting in a plane and a bus and just tired. Today actually gets to stretch his legs and get out there with the kids. They're practicing early, and after the practice, Doc had a chance to talk a little bit about just getting ready for the game.
Well, I mean, we've it's all about preparations, you know, and I thought our kids up to, you know, we got to practice in yesterday morning at home while we were planning on going early anyway, which we did, and of course we got delayed there, but we're back on schedule, which is good, and had practice today and got to have another great one tomorrow and get ready to play.
You guys had a long haul from West Virginia. How does it feel to be in the sunshine?
Oh, it's great. We all enjoy getting down to Florida. We got a lot of fans down here, got a lot of players from this area, so they're enjoying getting back and seeing families and, of course, playing in front of them as well.
Have you guys changed anything getting ready for this week's game?
No, we haven't changed anything. You know, preparation is going to stay the same, and you know, we've prepared the same way we have for the last six bowl games. It won't change.
Defensively for you guys, how does USF challenge? I know they've got a good offense, good running game.
Well, it starts with they got so much skill at every position. They got running backs that are tremendous. That young freshman running back is out of Miami. There is just sensational. He's hard to get on the ground, and then of course it's a wide receiver position. They got tremendous skill, and they got a quarterback that was starting at Alabama at one point and had beaten Jalen Hurts out. So it's going to be a great challenge for us defensively, and we just got to be up to that challenge.
How do you feel about playing at Raymond James Stadium?
Well, I mean, it's great. Number one, it's a great venue. And, of course, being on, you know, ESPN on Thursday night, being the only game on, is special because it will give such great exposure to our program, which we're always looking for. So we're excited about it. It's a tremendous stadium and a tremendous venue, and we're just looking forward to it.
Obviously, you guys tend to recruit a lot of Florida guys. How does it help being down here, like you said, on a national stage in Florida?
Well, as you mentioned, anytime you get on a national stage in the state of Florida, where we recruit a lot of players, and you know, I've recruited a lot of players here since 1979, so we go way back to kids from South Florida and all over Florida, for that matter. But anytime you have the exposure we're going to get at 8 o'clock on Saturday night with nobody else on but us, is going to be tremendous for our program.
That's Doc Holliday a little earlier this afternoon. Getting ready for the game practice now. After that, they went to one of the amusement parks in the area. So they forced Doc to have fun.
Yes. Only game in town.
Only game in town.
I wonder how many times we'll hear that this week.
You're going to hear that a lot. Because, again, it's important. This is a recruiting game for him. It's important for many reasons. One, he wants to win the game for the kids. It looks good on the program. And if you win the game, that means you have something to talk about as far as the game moving forward next year. The game's moving forward for next year's team. Won the bowl game, it propels them to hopefully a good season next year. You can talk to recruits, talk about, hey, how well you've done in bowls. You're showing off to a lot of Florida kids. I know that they've been on the phone as much as they're allowed. Say, hey, here's our game. Hope you're watching. Here's where you can find it. If you're not watching, we'll tape it for you. Don't worry. But for the most part, this is a recruiting game for
Doc.
It is.
It is. Yes, Thursday's a big one, but what happens after Thursday? A lot will be set up what goes on Thursday night on the James turf.
Now, Tim Kramsey, we haven't heard from him in a while. We had a chance to get our microphones in there as well and hear from Coach Kramsey. And the first question was asked to him just basically how the day has been going for him so far.
Early practice.
Good early practice. Gotta love it, man. You guys out of bed, get it up, get it on.
Feel good?
Yeah, we're right.
Yes, sir. All right, Tim. We'll just, you know, out here coaching football, the warm sunshine and everything you went through yesterday, it's just always great to be on the practice field, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is. A little chilly when we first got out. Once the sun came out, it was good. You know, had a good practice today, you know, assignment-wise, execution-wise, it was a good deal. Get out, run around a little bit. So, you know, continue to prepare the rest of today and tomorrow and get ready for the game.
I know you talked a little bit about self-scouting, that's just as equally important as what the Bulls are going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, you got to look at what you've done, what you've done in the past 12 games, and then what's the next step going forward. You know, it's a chess match on our side of the ball. Or, you know, as far as what they think we're going to do, what we're going to do, we got to figure out what they think we're going to do and do something different. So that's a fun part of coaching. That's a fun part of everything we do.
And I know a fun part of coaching is watching a young QB develop, and you've had the chance to do that this season.
Yeah, he's done a good job from game one to game 12 of taking steps, okay? He's not always perfect, but, you know, he's taking the progressions he needs to take. It'll be a fun game for him to go, good test for him to go against a fast defense, experienced defense that South Florida brings to the table. We'll see where we're at that point, but I feel good where he's at.
South Florida struggled down the stretch, but defensively played pretty well the last couple of games.
They're fast. They're talented. They're athletic, and they do some good things on scheme-wise on that side of the ball. So We got to do a great job protecting the ball. We got to do a great job executing. We got to do a great job of taking advantage and making the plays when we have opportunity to make plays on them.
What jumps, beside the speed and athleticism, what jumps out at you about the Bulls?
That's what it is. When you turn the film on, it's speed. They're speed at all three levels. You know, they're not a big team, but they're fast and athletic in the defensive line, fast and athletic in linebacker, fast and athletic in secondary. So, you know, we got to match that. We got some speed on our side as well. So we got to match that. And like I said, it's going to become an execution and who makes the plays when those opportunities come.
Tim, finally, you've had a chance to be a part around one of the top receivers in college football this season, Tyree, and he finishes up here. What's just general thoughts of him?
It's been fun coaching him. It's been fun watching him play. He's obviously a big part of the game plan, as are the other receivers. You know, that's part of the self-scouting, how many times we get in a formation and get him the ball this way. Well, let's try to do it a different way. Let's get in that formation and get the ball somebody different there. You know, we have other guys of OB and Marcel and Willie and Artie and those guys right down the line, not to mention our tight ends, who are also a big part of the game plan moving forward. But, you know, it's been fun coaching Tyree, and, you know, same thing we are. We got four more quarters to play with each other, so we're going to take advantage of it.
And obviously the news of Tyler, you know, you got Brendan now, and he's come on strong.
We got Brendan. We got Anthony. I think, you know, you go back to every game this year. It's been a different running back at some point stepping up. So we got Brendan. We got Anthony. We got Keon still available. So feel good about the guys that are in the backfield.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, that's Tim Kramsey. Now, as the quarterback of the crew here, what did you hear from the OC?
He wants to open it up a little bit. I think back to what we saw over the weekend when the two Conference USA teams took it on the chin, so to speak. Mr. Stockstill never got comfortable. They want to get Isaiah comfortable. They want to get South Florida back on their heels a little bit as best they can, control the tempo, make the plays. No big, you know, they want to make some big plays. Southport doesn't want to allow that. And Isaiah, this is his big test. I mean, you know, he think where he was at week one, and now he's going to a bowl game. Big stage for him, and I'm sure he would really love to flourish in this one, and coach is going to put him in positions to do it. He's going to ask him to do what he can do and not anything above and beyond, and hopefully that's enough.
I'm not saying the entire weight of Conference USA is on Marshall's shoulders, but, boy, Marshall needs to step
something.
It up. They need to step it up for the conference because the conference is not looking good right now in the bowl season.
It was a rough Saturday, wasn't it?
Was not good. Was not pretty. And there was a great article about North Texas maybe being the next Central Florida. Not with what I saw.
No.
It was on Yahoo Sports. It was a great article talking about everything that they had to make that next leap and maybe be the team we're talking about as the next Central Florida. You better win some more football games and not choke in a bowl.
Exactly. I think the two teams you better pay attention to are ones that Marshall used to play. Georgia Southern, Appy State. Appy's coming on schedule here for too long. They put on a pretty good show. I mean, Mr. Stockstill, I have never seen of late a guy under more duress than what he was on. They were all over. And a lot of times three and four men rushed. Didn't even blitz, but he was beyond hurried. Never got comfortable in – you know, 45 and 52 by Utah State. And both of the teams that they played, coaching changes, disarray there, didn't seem to bother them. Utah State, Appy State made their point. And now tomorrow night, the MAC champ versus the Conference USA champ. See what UAB brings to the table.
I'm a little bit more confident in them, but we'll find out. We'll see what happens because right now Sunbelt's looking pretty good.
Yes.
That's supposed to be the lower league compared to Marshall.
Supposed to be.
Is in Conference USA supposed to be a higher league? Supposed to be.
They may take exception to that right now.
Yeah, they're taking a little exception to that right now. Georgia Southern's all right. Appalachian State's all right. Marshall's going to have to wave the flag for the conference here and beat somebody if this league can't get it done. Not looking good as far as where the leagues are going to be ranked as well. That's important. Part of that's, of course, going to be a payout. Marshall getting a piece of that payout. But still, Marshall's going to try to do their part. It's not looking good for the league right now.
No, and they can make a statement come Thursday, and hopefully UAB can help them out a little bit tomorrow night. At least get it to 500.
We got Chase Hancock and Jordan Dowry. We'll get their comments when we come back from break, and we'll talk a little bit about what happened in NFL yesterday as well when we continue with this edition of The Drive presented by Beltone Hearing Aid Center. We're coming to you today live from the Union Pub and Grill, 1125 4th Avenue in Huntington, right here on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Buckle up. Paul Swan has the wheel on The Drive, ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Presented by Beltone Hearing Aid Center, this is The Drive. I'm your host, Paul Swan. I've got the former young Thundering Herd quarterback with me, Dave Walsh. I don't say ex.
No.
You're like a former. You're like a Marine.
There you go.
You don't say ex-Marine. You say former Marine. You say former quarterback. In your case, you're former young and former quarterback, so it works perfectly.
I like your terminology.
I try my best. I try my best. We're here today at the Union Pub and Grill. And you can join us at 1125 4th Avenue in Huntington. We, of course, have reasons for you to come down. One, $1.50. That's what you pay. That's right. You come down for the Monday special, $1.50 for the bottles, $2 for call shots. It's all right here every Monday at the Union Pub and Grill. So early morning practice for the Thundering Herd, getting acclimated to the Gasparilla Bowl. Climate, come on, let's be honest. Yes. They're Florida guys. They're going to be fine.
They're used to it.
They're used to it. But one guy who is going through his final go-around as a Thundering Herd football player is Chase Hancock. And as his career is coming to an end, things are starting to hit him a little bit more. And he was asked earlier today just how the day is going since, well, this is his last go-around.
This is my last bowl game as a senior, so I want to go out on a good note.
Chase, for you, obviously, you know, senior year, another bowl game for you. How special is it, you know, one last game for you in your college career?
This is it. This is the last time I get to represent the Herd. This is the last time I'll play with these guys. You know, the bond that we've built over the past 4 or 5 years has been one that's it's unbreakable. So I love these guys, and I'm just really excited to get out there and play.
How important is it, obviously, you know, you want to go out with a win, but how important is it to send the rest of the seniors out with a win?
I mean, we're in this together. I didn't get here by myself. We've been working since January, you know. We're all in this together.
So you guys are going to Busch Gardens. How do you feel about that? Have you ever been?
Yeah, I've been back in – we got some back where I'm from. It's a great amusement park. And you know, I'm just excited to kind of relax a little bit and have some fun.
And how do you feel about Raymond James Stadium? That's the first time this bowl game's been played in Raymond James Stadium. So how do you feel like that's going to be compared to, say, like when you play in Tropicana Field?
Well, Tropicana Field was a great atmosphere to you. You know, wherever they have us, I'm sure it'll be a great atmosphere. I'm just excited to get out there and play. And you know, a lot of these guys are from here, so I'm sure a lot of our fans are going to come out and support us.
Obviously, lining up on the defensive side of the ball for you, you know what USF brings to the table. Doc talked about it. They've got tremendous depth on the outside. Mm-hmm. Quarterback's good. Running back's good. How does USF challenge you guys?
We have to be on our game, really. I mean, we've got to make sure we tackle the ball. We've got to run to the ball. Our secondary's got to be on point. That's pretty much it. Just come ready to play and do our job and nothing else.
You guys do a good job at stopping the run, and obviously they have, I think, the 16th. Best offense in the nation, total offense. Is that a matchup you guys sort of like with your chops, wanting to go up against a high-powered offense looking to stop them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every week is different. Every team is different. So every week's a challenge, and we got to be on top of our game. So every week is an opportunity for us to go out there and show what we can do.
That's Chase Hancock, and it's gotten a hit at him. See, he's been used to Marshall being in bowl games, and so you've got that last game. For someone like you, Dave, bowl games really weren't that common. It wasn't until later on in college football's progression as one of the national pastimes, it feels like, as the bowls proliferated. If a team went to a bowl, it's very rare. Now, you know, if you don't go to a bowl, it's kind of disappointing. So,
play 500 and you go.
Yeah, you're 6-6. You get to go to a bowl game. Mm-hmm. That's not how it used to be. But.
No.
He wants to go out on top because Doc talks about the fact that these guys, you're not going to remember this game. If you lose it, you're not going to remember it.
No.
We will. Fans will. You and I will remember it.
Yes.
These guys, they'll probably black it out.
They want to foul it away somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. We'll bring it up. And, of course, when you win a bowl game, it's great to bring it back up. When you lose a bowl game, oh, no.
He wants to go out because we talked early in the year. He mentioned one time, 2 years ago, they were 3-9 going nowhere. Then they turned things around last year, won a bowl game out west, and now they're back down there again. So they're in a place they know, they're used to the environment, and it comes down, as Doc has put it, we make the plays, at least one more play than the Bulls make, and that should hopefully be enough to get them a W and make it a good ride home on Friday.
All right, I think we've got enough time. Let's hear from Jordan Dowry. Same thing, just kind of getting a feel for how the day was going for him.
Well, talking to another senior, so you know, you're the countdown definitely on now because you are here in Tampa, where the final practices and final game will unfold.
Yeah, I've got a couple days left, and so I'm gonna cherish it. I'm gonna make the most of it. I'm really enjoying myself, and I just want to go out with a win because at the end of the day, that's what matters, and that's what's gonna make this whole experience more memorable.
Your fourth experience in your five-year career, pretty fortunate, aren't you? I know you'd like to have 5 of 5, but 4 out of 5 is not bad.
I would have taken the fifth one, but I'm happy with everything I've gotten out of this experience at Marshall. It's been a great opportunity all the way around, and I've enjoyed every bowl game. I've enjoyed the seasons that we've had as a team, the ups and downs that we've had together, and at the end of the day, that's what's important, is just being together with the team.
What jumps out at you about this USF defense?
They run a lot of different defenses. There's a lot of fronts, there's a lot of movement, and those sorts of things for an O-lineman mean that we have to identify things, and having being on the same page across the board is one of the biggest challenges against a team that does a lot of different things. If you know they're going to line up in one front the whole day, it's pretty straightforward, but when it's back and forth, that's when you really have to be locked in and focused.
How much does having that familiarity with all those guys up front, Levi next to you, how much does that help when you guys get the line? You can identify that quickly. You know what's going on almost without having to say anything to each other.
Yeah, we're on the same page pretty well now. We had pretty much everybody from last year's back this year, and so we pretty much got 2 years under our belt as a unit, and with the guys that you're playing next to, and that's led to a really good communication. We get things done quickly. We make decisions well together. And I think those sorts of things make a game like this a little bit easier because, as a group, we've seen every front. We haven't seen every front in every game, but between the group of us, we've seen all the different things that they're going to do from one team or another. And as a group, we'll be able to communicate that and identify pretty easily. And from there, it's just about execution.
Part of your duties this season, blocking, protecting, and then opening holes for protecting a young guy and opening a hole for another young guy that's had to emerge here as the leading back here late in the season. Just talk about Isaiah first and then Brendan.
Well, Isaiah's come a long way throughout the year. I think everyone knows that when you come in as a freshman in any position, there's a learning curve. There's some stuff you got to get used to. The pace of the game's high, faster, and all those sorts of things. And he's done a great job adjusting, and his the execution of just running the offense throughout the season has improved a lot. And, it's not my place to talk about Reed.
All right, that's Jordan Dowry. Of course, so they were in a wind tunnel at the very end.
Awful breezy, it seemed like.
It's like rubbing it in our face. It's like it's warm. It's breezy a little bit. It's going to be nice. I think there will be some precipitation down there.
They're doing some interviews, and we're up here looking outside. It's warmer, but it's not what they have.
No.
We don't have any palm trees that I know of.
We do not have palm trees. We've got Christmas trees down here,
yes,
at the Union Pub and Grill. I can say that. There are Christmas wreaths, Christmas trees, Christmas cheer down,
yes,
here. That's going to do it for this edition of The Drive, presented by Belltone Hearing Aid Center on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930. I want to thank, of course, Gabriel Sellers back in the studio. And for Mr. Dave Walsh, I'm Paul Swan, inviting you to come down to the Union Pub and Grill, 1125 4th Avenue in Huntington, where until the end of the night, it's $1.50 bottles and $2 call shots. That's the Monday deal. Back in studio tomorrow, back in studio Wednesday, and then Thursday we'll be over at Roosters. That's right. We're going to grab some, not breakfast wings this time.
No.
I'm actually going to have dinner wings.
Yes.
There is a difference.
Yes, big time difference.
For Gabriel, for Dave, I'm Paul. Good night.
Sports Station.